Good afternoon, and welcome back to Cultivating Hearts. Tara, it's just been on my heart, just to convey to everybody that's listening to us, is I just want to tell them how glad we are that they're here and that we love them.
Yes. Amen.
And
that
if
is good.
They haven't, if nobody's told them that, you know, hey, I love you, you're hearing it from us today.
That's right. Yay.
And I would just ask that for each one of them that are out there, that they open their eyes and ears and hearts to the message and what God has for them, not just today and during this message, but for the days to come.
Yes, amen, amen. Thank you for, that's a good way for us to open and start. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, we are going to jump right into, Joshua 4 with lots of exciting things to talk about.
I know.
Tara, the question of the day is, what is the benefit of remembering?
What is the benefit of remembering? I wanted us to answer that before I storied the passage today. So how have you been blessed by remembrance? What has it done for you? How does your family, to get you thinking on what that might look like, how does your family tell your stories? How does your church tell your church stories? What do you do when you are with others to connect? I know high school buddies, they like to reflect on the past. Marriages, one of the healthiest things we can do is tell and retell our story of how we met and about our wedding and our funny stories. What is it about remembrance that helps you, blesses you?
I think it's the happiness that it can bring. It's just taking you back to a place that, you know, when it's those special times. Is a wedding or engagement. But when I think about maybe remembering some not so happy times, I think sometimes it can bring sadness. But on the other hand, I think how many times when we do remember of a stressful or a difficult situation, we now laugh about it.
Yeah, or celebrate, okay, this did
you
pass.
Did it.
How about you, Sandy?
Well, I think memories are always good. You know, constantly I'm talking about my husband to my grandchildren because I don't want them to forget him. And Faith Marion tells stories about him that I'm not too sure if they happened, but it's
but they
good. They're all good. They
bigger.
Do. You know, and I love it because
she wants to join the story.
She
I love
does.
It.
She does. And she's most of the time correct about Grandpa having great wit and you know, she
I
hears
love
it. From
I
us.
Love it.
I don't know if she knows what wit means, but
because
she's only 7, but she might. I'll
that's
have to
awesome.
Ask her.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But what a way to keep him alive.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what it is, memories to keep, you know.
I love it.
I like that.
This past week, Pastor Calvin Miller, who is the founding pastor for Westside Church, passed away. And my friends on...
Right now is his funeral.
It is right now? Okay, his funeral's going on as we're recording the show. He was just an amazing, gifted, creative man. And on Facebook, after the church, you know, Westside announced and stuff, I was just blessed by the remembrance that was happening on the internet about Pastor Calvin and how he's the one that led me to the Lord. He's the man that introduced me to my wife. He married us. He baptized us. I mean, it was over and over of different people remembering how his life joined their life with God. And it just humbled me. And some of the times I was brought to tears. Sometimes I was brought to laughter. But the reflection and the remembrance for all of us brought about a feeling of history. And I was thinking about this morning, and I ended up posting it on Facebook. Just God just, you know how sometimes things just quickly go through your thought process, and it was, remembrance causes us to reflect on our history, and our history ends up conveying our community. And when we have our community, that builds our sense of belonging. And then when we have our sense of belonging, that conveys, I'm somebody.
And everybody wants to be somebody.
And everybody wants to know that they're included. That's and whenever you hear about somebody that does something horrible, like what just happened with the shootings in Colorado, there is a disconnect with the I'm somebody. There's a disconnect with the community. There's a disconnect with identity with the larger group, and a disconnect with history and relating with others. It always comes to that pulling away in isolation, whereas remembrance brings us back into the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Today, as we're looking at for the next 4 weeks on Joshua, I could not stop thinking about the power of remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
There is a definite power that comes into this, so much so that the end of the passage of Joshua 4, when he tells them, what will you say when your children ask why you did this? And I'll explain that in a second as we go through the actual story of Joshua 4. It says so that all peoples will remember the power of the hand of the Lord, and that you will fear and be in awe of him. And so God is telling us through Joshua, this is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a powerful tool we have. And then when I was reflecting through this, I thought, God, you know, we've been doing this as we have been going through the book of Joshua. We looked at that we're called to be a sanctuary. We are called as a people to be the temple of the Lord and moving around and interacting with those around us. We not only are called to do that, but he told Joshua, I want you to be strong and courageous as you lead. That, you know, that yes, you may have fears, you may have anxieties, you may have thinking you're not good enough or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Be strong and courageous because I am with you. And so remembering that, and then not just being strong and courageous, but in faith, taking the steps that God has given. And so Joshua did that, and they claimed Jericho. And then, but in order to do the claiming of Jericho, they had to set themselves apart. They had to consecrate themselves. They had to identify, I'm on God's side.
Mm-hmm.
I today have chosen to draw the line, and I stand with God. And set themselves apart and cleansing themselves and purifying themselves outwardly and inwardly to be a vessel used by God. And then he takes us into the strength of remembrance, because they've done this amazing thing. And he doesn't want them to forget, because it only took 3 days after the crossing of the Red Sea before they started to grumble and complain. 3 days. And we are a people that will do that. It does not take long. And so God wants us to get it. And as we go through this passage, and you guys are going to laugh, but when I prepared a story, and I don't always do it well. Sometimes I have to refer to my notes because I end up getting fearful and thinking I can't do it, which I can. You know, a fear that I might not say the passage right or something. But if I do it to where I can really do it well, what I have found is that if I listen to the passage over and over and over, then it becomes a part of me, and it's easier for me with my remembrance of being able to tell. Well, as I was going through and listening to the passage over and over, in all of my writing and research that I've done on Joshua 4, which I have studied many times, I didn't even get it until this morning. It included every aspect of society. It wasn't till I heard the story 4 times this morning as I was re-listening over and over that it dawned on me. It had God, Joshua the leader, the people, the priests, and the military war. Mm. Every aspect of society is represented in the remembrance of this passage.
Wow.
And so there is something that happens with us hearing the retelling, that we will catch layers to what we need to know even as well. So I wanted to share that before we get started as we think on remembrance, because hearing the story over and over, it does help us identify with different aspects depending on where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, and so it took that many times before I finally caught something that it's like been there all along, but I didn't get it until today. I love how God's word.
I was going to say, he reveals it when it's time for us to know.
I know. Yeah. It's awesome. So let's hear Joshua 4, okay? And I'm going to attempt to tell it in my own words. This time I was telling Sandy and Shelley that I story mapped it. I don't always story map my story, but because this story has so many different groups, I had to story map it, because they say the same thing over and over, but they say it differently each time. I kept myself getting confused. And and so sometimes that's a helpful thing to do. So here we have the fall of Jericho has occurred. The fall of Jericho is about to happen. Sorry, excuse me. And And but they're in preparation. They're crossing the Jordan, and they've completed it. We're told at the end of Joshua 3. And so the whole nation of Israel has finished the crossing. And then the Lord speaks to Joshua, and he says to him, I want you to choose 12 men. I want you to take up 12 men from the people, one man to represent each tribe. And I want them to go down to where the priests are standing with the Ark of the Covenant. And I want them to take a stone to carry it to the place that you're going to go to tonight and place it there. Well, Joshua immediately called the 12 men together, and he said, come here. And he goes, I want you to go over to the Ark of the Covenant where the priests are standing, and I want you to take a stone, and I want you to pick up that stone and use it as a sign among you, and that these 12 stones represent the tribes of Israel. And we're going to show that this is the place where the Lord cut off the waters of the Jordan, where the Ark of the Covenant stood when he stopped the water for us. So the Israelites, after they listened to Joshua, they did exactly as he commanded. They went out where the priests stood in the water, with the dry ground, with the Ark of the Covenant, and they picked up 12 stones. And then they took them up, and they went where they were staying that night, and they handed them to Joshua, and he stood them up as a sign, a memorial before the people. Now, when all of this was happening, the priests that had carried the Ark, they remained in the Jordan on dry ground, holding the Ark of the Covenant, as all the people passed by, just as Moses had commanded them. All the people were crossing over, and the people went as fast as they could, and then they watched the priests come out. And as the priests came out and their feet stood on dry land, the floodwaters came. Now see, Moses had commanded that the military go before them, so they had had the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh that were men armed for battle that went before the people when they were crossing the Jordan, and they number that at 40,000 men dressed for war that crossed before them, just as Moses had commanded. And on that day, when this happened, God looked at Joshua, and he revered him before the nation of Israel, just as he had revered Moses. And he did this all the days of Joshua's life. And then the Lord looked at Joshua, and he said, I want you to command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the Jordan. And so Joshua went to the priest, and he said, come up on out of the Jordan. And so the priests carrying the Ark came up out of the Jordan, and no sooner than they had set their feet on dry land that it went back to flood stage. So on the 10th day of the first month, when the people went up out of the Jordan and they went to the border of Gilgal and camped, Joshua set the 12 stones up before them as a reminder. And he said, in the future, when your descendants ask, what do these stones mean? I want you to tell them that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. Just as when we had crossed with the Red Sea, the Lord enabled us to cross on dry land. We crossed the Jordan on dry land. And as soon as the priests stepped out, the waters came. We are to do this as a reminder to all the peoples that God is all-powerful, and we are not to forget to fear the Lord our God. What an amazing passage of scripture. And I'm still, even as I'm telling it, God's revealing me new things. And one of the things that just occurred to me is I didn't repeat the question, what do these stones mean? He does that twice in the passage, and I skipped part of that. And so sometimes that happens, you'll forget a portion. And so they're told that statement twice. What do these stones mean? And the reason is because they have to know what they're remembering. Mm-hmm. That's key. And so that repetition is important. So we're going to look at this and examine what it means to have a memorial set up as a reminder. What do you think was the key factor for them that day? We're told clearly in the passage, but why do you think it was so important that they had the 12 stones?
There's such symbolism always in the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, the 12 tribes, the 12 stones.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Why did it have to be one from each tribe that got that stone? Why couldn't it just been 12 men?
I think it had to be represented, each tribe.
It's like the nation, all nations,
right.
All people.
Yeah, not just one or two.
Yeah. You know,
community.
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Very
gold,
good.
Gold star.
Gold star. I love it. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because the sign of leadership in any situation, it isn't that I do it. It's that we enable those that are around us to serve.
Right.
And so I sometimes it's easier to say, I'll just take care of it. Joshua could have said, I'll just get the 12 stones, but he didn't. God wanted him to have where each nation was serving in the process of bringing those stones to set that up as a memorial, because by their participating, they're taking ownership right. in that remembrance.
Plus, if he did it, there's a disconnect. You talked about disconnect today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe not when we're on.
Well, yeah. It's yeah, it's like the ownership,
right?
It's the accountability. It's mm-hmm. like
responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I mean, it kind of just like the you know
it layers.
Just, yeah, mm-hmm.
It layers. It does layer, and so he has them get the stones, and they set it up. Why do you think he wants them to have that memorial?
We so know they can tell their children how powerful he is. Mm-hmm. So we you know.
It's so we remember.
So we remember always everything he has done for us individually.
And it wasn't like a log that, you know, can, what do we want to say, like deteriorate or rot away. It was a stone.
Yeah.
And how old are the stones and, you know, the mountains that are the granite that, you know, we now all want in our kitchens and,
yeah.
you know, how old, you know.
Durable.
I mean, it's.
Yeah. And the thing is that it wasn't just their personal children. It wasn't my generation of children.
No, it's generation to generation.
Descendants.
Families. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was
families.
Descendants. It was beyond us forever. This is to be as a sign memorial of what God did in their behalf. Forever. Mm-hmm. He wants it to be as a remembrance. And Scripture tells us to this day at the time of the writing, the stone still stood.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I've never been there. I wonder if some of the people have gone on tour at Israel. I'd love to see that.
I know. That's what I was like, oh, I wonder.
Yeah.
I have to check into that.
I want to go and see as well. We're all there. God someday bless us with the privilege of going to Israel. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But someday maybe. And it'll definitely be in the new Jerusalem. It may not be the Jerusalem as we know it today, but we will definitely walk on the streets of the new Jerusalem. Would you believe we only have 30 seconds left?
Yes, I would.
Today's show went fast, didn't it?
That's always.
You guys, you've got to come back because we're going to look at this. What is remembrance and how I can apply that remembrance in my life? Mm-hmm. Personally, in my family, as a ministry leader, as a brother, a sister, a mother, it's crucial. It is crucial to our community and our history. We're so glad you're connecting with us. Contact us at terrorye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or Open Door Mission. God bless.